Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. And I'm happy to bring our listeners today my two guests to talk about lobby days. First, NCIA's CEO and co-founder, Aaron Smith, is joining us today. Prior to launching NCIA, he distinguished himself as a public advocate for marijuana policy reform, first with the California-based medical cannabis advocacy group, Safe Access Now, in 2005, and then as the California State Policy Director for the Washington, D.C.-based Marijuana Policy Project, all the way up until founding NCIA in 2010. Also on the show today is Monica Gray of Nice Guys Delivery and also an NCIA board member. Her company, Nice Guys Delivery, was incorporated in 2016 by her and her husband, Adam Fong. The company's a knowledgeable high-level delivery service that offers the highest grade flowers, edibles, lotions, teas, tinctures, and more. Her and her husband own and operate the company, as well as Nice Gals, a CBD online retailer. Welcome both of you to the show today. Thanks for taking time to talk with me.
Thanks, Bethany. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
Great. I would like to kick off the episode by reflecting on the past a bit. Last year in 2022, we all began to emerge from the restrictions of the COVID pandemic. And we were able to return to Washington, D.C. in person in the fall in September. But in the interim prior to that, we hosted what we called virtual lobby days to fill the gap. So let's talk a little bit about what that was like for you, getting on a Zoom call with members of Congress. Monica?
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny story. So I attended, I attended both virtual lobby days. There's a mini lobby days in May of last year, and then the virtual lobby days in January, end of January 2022. And I was just getting over COVID. So to say the least, I was a little bit hazy. And I also had my whole family at home. So my four-year-old, who was three at the time, made a couple of appearances. And I believe there was some pets that ended up showing up on various screens. And so, yeah, it was definitely interesting, but it was so nice to be in person last year, because you can kind of tell that being online and on Zoom calls all day, and you know, also Zoom calls for lobby days, just working with the staffers, they definitely had Zoom, the space out syndrome, where you're just kind of staring. It looks like you're staring out into space. You're paying attention, but you're not 100% there. So last year, when we finally were able to make it in September back in person, it was more lively, engaging, personable, and the conversations were definitely a lot better. But it was good to see people on Zoom and to actually be able to speak to my stories and engage with the staffers. But it definitely was a little draining with COVID and having other distractions going on, to say the least.
Yeah, Zoom fatigue is a real thing,
It
especially
is.
those days when you have back-to-back-to-back meetings and you are just like your eyes are crossing and you're sick of staring at a screen and you just start staring at yourself a little bit.
Yep.
Totally
And what's
get
going
it.
on behind you? And it was definitely a time.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, from an organizational standpoint, how did virtual lobby days go for you?
I think you, Monica, really nailed it. It was really what we had to do because there was no other way to communicate with Congress, and even though we were in the midst of a public health emergency, there were still cannabis legislation was moving and being discussed, and that was really the only way to engage. And then going into the September in-person event, we still had quite a few restrictions. We had had our members had to be accompanied by staffers, and only had to be everything was by appointment only. So, as we pivot into this year, I'm really happy that at least a good amount of that has lifted, and things should be a lot easier for our members this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, I mean, going back in September in person last year, it was kind of just like riding a bike, even though we hadn't gone in a couple of years. You're like, oh, okay, I remember how to do this now. But yeah, like you said, there were some limitations. The security protocols for getting into the House and Senate buildings by appointment only, you had to be escorted. Yeah, I remember standing outside with groups that were going in, our people, and it's just a sea of people waiting for your chaperone basically to come down and find you. And that was somewhat of an awkward process, but I think overall it was smooth. Monica, did you get a chance to attend our in-person lobby days in September, or
Yes, I did. It was actually super fan. I mean, I had a great time. It was really incredible how many industries were there to lobby for their businesses. I know that Fish and Wildlife was staying at my hotel, and let me tell you, those guys know how to party.
Oh
And
boy.
I think I saw 7-Eleven waiting in line with us to get in to the house, and it was a big group of people, very, very different from the restrictions that we had to go through in the prior years. Just even like waiting in a line, I was actually kind of surprised how many people and how condensed the area was. But yeah, waiting in line, waiting for the staffer to come down to meet you. But what I thought was really wonderful about having the staffer come down and meet you, even though it was a bit of a debacle finding that individual, was kind of to getting to know the staffer that's bringing you up to the office, and how incredibly young they were. I think we had one office staffer that had just graduated from college, and she was on her second week working for the representative. So. But just, hearing about what got them into politics and getting to know them personally a little bit, I thought was actually really, really interesting and really eye-opening to me personally. But there's definitely some interesting restrictions that were going on. So I'm looking forward to going to the House and having things in Capitol Hill to have things lifted up a bit, as Aaron was mentioning.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so you had that long, long walk once they grabbed you from the outside and brought you through security, walk down the hallway, go up the elevator or stairs or what have you. I guess you have some time to chit chat and get to know the 25-year-olds that are running our government behind the
Right,
scenes.
right. She was 21, and I was like, "Wow,
Oh.
you're barely legal to consume cannabis and alcohol, so or adult use." But it was great.
I love that. I love that. So, any other memories from lobby days in person that you'd like to share? I kind of want to keep going down memory lane for a couple more minutes here before we start talking about the future. We had a great welcome reception as folks were arriving into town. Our events department booked it at the Players Club, so there were pinball machines, which is one of my favoriteest things in the world, and, you know, basketball hoops and some cool things like that. And then a nice closing reception as the event was wrapping up. And we had some visits by members of Congress at both of those events. Aaron, can you talk a bit about the folks that actually join us at the parties, the members of Congress that we know so well, actually, that they, I won't say they come party with us, but, you know, they certainly will join us and make an appearance at our private NCIA events.
Yeah, it's a really great opportunity to meet, you know, the champions in Congress. And it's a good opportunity for them to meet us and to meet our members. You know, I was really happy. I guess apart from the evening events, we had a press conference in support of safe banking, and we had Senator Jeff Merkley. That was in front of the Capitol during the day, and that was the first time we've actually had a press conference on the Senate side, because we were, you know, really pushing to get safe through Senate. And then, you know, yeah, the evening events, we had an opening reception where we presented Congressman Perlmutter from Colorado, who's now retired, presented him with a legislative achievement award for all of the work he did on behalf of his constituents on safe banking. And then the closing reception, I don't have the number off the top of my head, but we were joined by several members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, Congress people like Congressman Blumenauer, Republican Nancy Mace, and others, you know, that are there, you know, like I said, really to learn from the industry, as well as, you know, to make sure the industry knows that they're there fighting for us. And I'm glad you mentioned the staffers earlier too, just to add a little to that. I think one thing that, you know, I think a lot of people come in the lobby today is really excited that they're going to meet members of Congress they've seen on TV, you know, AOC or Bernie Sanders whoever their favorite member of Congress might be, and you very well may, but it's really important to realize that, you know, with the way our system works, is that those, as you said, Bethany, the 25-year-old staffers or even 21-year-old staffers are really running the show behind the scenes, and it is equally as important that they hear from us, and in some ways more important, because it's a really quick revolving door. You know, those folks get in there young, straight out of college, and then they're off to working at a think tank or a lobbying firm a couple years later, and they're replaced by another round of staffers. And so it's one of the really important reasons we do lobby days, is it allows us to hit up, you know, hundreds of offices, which, you know, our team is working really hard, but we can't hit hundreds of offices in a matter of 2 days with our three full-time lobbyists. So right. It's, and building those relationships with the staffers is just as important as with the members.
Yeah, great point. Thank you both for sharing those memories. All right, let's take our first commercial break, and then we'll come back and chat more about 2023 Lobby Days. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, and I'm talking with NCIA CEO and co-founder Aaron Smith and NCIA board member and CEO of Nice Guys Delivery, Monica Gray. So we already went down memory lane of past lobby days last year, and one of my favorite memories from many years ago was passing Bernie Sanders in the hallway and seeing him flanked with, you know, 7 young staffers behind him, and I said hello, and he said hello back. I was just so delighted. But that is a rare situation, exactly. But what is important is that our goals at Lobby Days have been consistent since day one, which was 11 years ago at this point. So we're educating Congress, and as we're saying, the 21, 25-year-old staffers, as to why cannabis should be federally legal. And of course, licensed business owners who want to see banking protections and 280 tax reform can tell their stories. As we look at the big picture here, what progress would you say we're seeing toward these goals, you know, in the big scheme of things over the years? Aaron, would you start there?
Yeah. So, you know, we first did Lobby Days over 10 years ago. You know, I think we brought 6 or 8 people out to DC, and of course it's much bigger now. But at that time, I mean, there were very few members of Congress who would vocally support making cannabis legal, like alcohol. And there were, you know, really not many more that were interested in issues like the banking situation, and 280E was a completely unknown issue at that time. And, you know, it took many, you know, this Congress works at a glacial pace, whether we like it or not. It's a very long game. And as, you know, year after year, in those early days, I guess I'll back up, those early days, we actually couldn't get meetings with many, many, many members of Congress, not just Republicans, but even Democrats would just not meet with us. They would laugh at us, or maybe we would get the meeting, but it would just be full of jokes like, hey, did you bring any free samples? That sort of thing. Fast forward today, you know, you have the Safe Banking Act has bipartisan support, majority support in the House on, you know, both sides of the aisle, very close to passing the Senate, unfortunately hasn't yet. You have essentially the entire Democratic conference supporting cannabis reform, and many on the Republican side. And that's because of this work we've been doing over the last decade. And the issue is taken seriously too. Even in, you know, I sit in some of these meetings, and sometimes I like to go to meetings with folks who I know are not going to be supportive. I always do that. And as I've seen is, you know, those are the ones that they, you know, 10 years ago, they wouldn't take a meeting with us. You know, say a member of Congress who's a evangelical from Nebraska or something like that, you know, wouldn't take a meeting with us at all 10 years ago. 5 years ago, they'd probably give the meeting to their most junior staffer, and they'd be snickering and kind of poking fun the whole time. Now they're actually taking notes and paying, you know, they might not be voting with us yet, but they're taking notes. They're actually educating themselves on the issue because, you know, more than likely their boss might not support reform, but the younger staffer does. And they know that this is a serious issue that's to be reckoned with.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm feeling and seeing all that as well. Instead of being, you know, just quick hallway meetings or like the most closet office in the member of Congress's office, you know, yes, we're having real sit down, serious note-taking meetings. Absolutely saw that last year in particular as well. Monica, what do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely on the same page as Aaron. I was actually pretty shocked with even the southern states. So I visited, let's see, I went to two Republican senator from Alaska and senator from Oklahoma, and then a couple Democratic offices. But I was surprised. Every staffer that we visited was actually understood cannabis. To say, you know, I mean, that goes a lot further than I think in the past. They we had one staffer from a Republican southern state, and he specifically told us my mother had to use medical marijuana for, you know, she had cancer. And so she had to use it to help her with her appetite for when she was going through chemotherapy. So I am completely, you know, sympathetic with what you guys are trying to do and understand the need for it. So, I mean, that was just having more of a personal, you know, connection or personal conversation with somebody that works as a staffer in a southern state was pretty incredible. So and then these the majority of the House representatives as well as senators were for safe banking. They understood it. Comprehensive reform and descheduling was another conversation, was a little bit more of a touchy subject, but they understood the need for it. And it was at first I kind of thought I was going to come in like as a battle. I'm like really kind of trying to help everybody the need for safe banking and for descheduling and telling all these personal stories, which I still did. And it was great that I had the opportunity to do that. But I had it was great because I was asked more questions and they were really engaging conversations as opposed to what I thought might've been somebody just kind of disregarding what I was saying. And yeah, everybody that our group spoke to was very engaging and had more questions and wanted to follow up. And yeah. It was really awesome.
Yeah. You know, I think there's something to be said about something that you said reminded me or made me think of our approach with Congress. They do want to hear about the bottom line, you know, the job creation, the tax revenues, you know, things that would benefit them on the dollars and cents level, but also that human connection, that
absolutely
story. The storytelling of how it's impacted a real human being's life, a relative, a mother, a brother, a friend, you know, anything like that, that really makes you understand, that pulls at the heartstrings a little bit. So I think both of these approaches are an important part of our overall narrative when we're talking to members of Congress. And, you know, this it's important that we keep going back to and keep adding to this conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. It's a long game, as you said, Aaron. And it's also becoming more complex and sophisticated. So I think this year, like, we're even talking even more about safe banking and 280E, but there's even more issues coming to the table. So, Aaron, I'm curious what your thoughts are about, you know, the added complexities about our industry that needs to be talked about when we're going to lobby days again this year.
Yeah. So last year we saw some great, you know, made some great strides really in that long game. One of them was that we saw the most comprehensive cannabis reform bill ever crafted, introduced in the Senate, the Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act, KOA, that was not only introduced in the Senate, but introduced by the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, which is a huge deal. That bill is flawed, but many parts of it were based on NCIA recommendations on how cannabis should be treated at the federal level. Us and other organizations provided pages and pages and pages of feedback, much of which was incorporated. But the bill still needs to improve. And, you know, the proposed taxes that are out there are too high. And there's some other issues that, you know, we're especially concerned if the impact on small businesses and independently owned businesses, which we call Main Street cannabis. And so, you know, we're going to be, you know, as we kind of moved in this paradigm where legalization is relatively imminent. The question is when it's going to be, and most importantly, how it's going to look, how it's going to impact the existing industry. And so there's our members coming to lobby days at May 16th through 18th this year. We'll have an opportunity to really help steer that conversation in the right direction. And also there's 82 members of Congress that just got elected. So a big focus this year will be on the same issues that you mentioned, 280E, banking, general, you know, descheduling, but new conversations with new members of Congress who in many times probably haven't heard from the industry because they just got elected.
Yeah, that's a great point. Before we take a commercial break, did you have any thoughts to add about that, Monica, about the way our conversations are getting more complex and maybe new topics to bring up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely agree with Aaron that a lot of the conversations really just need to be continued about 280E and also the California industry right now. A lot of businesses are going bankrupt. They're closing, smaller businesses in particular. We're not making any money. 280E really hit us hard during the pandemic since people's businesses doubled or tripled. So all these businesses scaled to keep up with the demand. We were deemed essential during the pandemic. Then we had to file our 2020 taxes and got hit with astronomical taxes. People were laid off. The businesses are still struggling to maintain growth, but at the same time, pay all these crazy taxes from local, state, national level. You know, it's just not worth it to be in this industry right now. I mean, there's days where I just want to quit and I don't want to be here anymore. I mean, I think I said this last year too. Last year was, you know, I might not be sitting here next year. Like we're one of the few businesses that are still holding on. So, I mean, it's how much longer can this industry maintain this? I know that the industry is coming up on board in other states, but really right now, California, which is, you know, next to Colorado and Oregon, is one of the first states with legalization adult use. I mean, we're struggling over here. So,
Yeah, I've been hearing about that, certainly. All right, let's take our last commercial break and then we'll come back and wrap up our conversation with Aaron and Monica about NCIA's Cannabis Industry Lobby Days. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice, chatting with Aaron Smith and Monica Gray. And we have just a couple minutes left in the show. But let's go over what we're looking forward to at NCIA's Lobby Days, especially for NCIA members who have never attended Lobby Days before. They don't know what to expect. I would say my first piece of advice is wear really comfortable dress shoes with like memory foam inserts, probably flats, unless you just really love wearing heels for the ladies. There's a lot of walking around on concrete and marble floors. So I know that's very practical, but that's my first piece of advice. Monica, what would you say to that?
I'm 100% on board with wearing the comfortable shoes. I know that we had a group member that ended up walking around barefoot for a bit towards the end. She was wearing heels. I was wearing heels as well, but I got comfortable heels that I could actually walk in, but still I'm next year I'm going to bring flats. I would say snacks as well, is definitely to have something that you can just munch on. I know we're splitting it up to 2 days this year, but last year we did 1 day and we had back-to-back meetings from, we met at like around 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we went right until the end till 4:30, and it was very little time to eat. So snacks, and also definitely layer yourself. But the one thing I would say is just be yourself, tell your story when you meet with these people. And I guess my expectation was when I went in was that we were going to speak policy, but what I've found was most beneficial is just to really be myself and to really, you know, tell all of these crazy stories of what we've had to deal with in this industry. That would be my advice.
Great. Thanks for that. Aaron, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I mean, you both hit the nail on the head. I would say, you know, members who haven't done this before, I really urge everybody to come out this year. It's going to be one of the more impactful years because of new members of Congress. But, you know, also, it's not just about, you know, talking about your story, and it's also listening to them and learning what, you know, what motivates a member of Congress to move on an issue, because that, you know, we solicit that feedback after the meeting so our staff can take that in. But it also just, I think, very enriching experience for folks that have never lobbied Congress before to, you know, to be in those, you know, really in the halls of power, and to get a better understanding of how the sausage is made. So it's also just really a great bonding experience with fellow cannabis industry people. It's not like, you know, we do, you know, we love our evening events and the things that we, you know, the standard kind of event formats that we all go to. This is more of a all day and actually, you know, 2 day long experience where you're with cannabis industry leaders who some who you maybe know for a long time, others who you just met, and you're working toward a common cause for, you know, 8 hours a day for 2 days straight. And that really, I think, brings people together to make, you know, lifetime friends and colleagues.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that, Aaron. And I really enjoy being there as well as the communications and media team to get the stories from our members about how their meetings went and how their experience has been. and just being in DC in general is a really great opportunity to see behind the scenes and get to do it with your industry peers. It's so worth it. It's a exhausting couple of days, but it's very fulfilling and very satisfying, I think. So I hope NCIA members who are listening, if you haven't already registered for our next Lobby Days, it's happening in May, May 16th, 17th, and 18th in Washington, D.C. Go ahead and register on our website and you'll get more details. Our government relations team is working behind the scenes to create the teams and set up meetings and do all that preparation work to make it a smooth experience for you once you arrive in our nation's capital. So in the meantime, we are continuing our event series across the country. We'll be visiting New York, Boston, we're going to Portland, Oregon, and a couple other spots as well, Miami, Florida. We just added an Oklahoma event as well. So be sure to go to NCIA's event website, our event page on our website, and register for these events. And they're all leading up to Lobby Days in May. So be sure to start making your plans to join us there as well. And I think we have run out of time today, but thank you guys so much for jumping on the show today and going down memory lane with me and hyping up the excitement for what's just a few weeks away, honestly, our 11th annual Cannabis Industry Lobby Days.
Thank you, Bethany. Yeah, that was great.
Great. Thanks so much again for your time. And thanks to NCIA listeners and everyone listening to the show. Appreciate you tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.